Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Jay Posner, both editor of the Union Tribune. Jay, Padres, Dodgers. Man, we've been waiting for this for a long time. We've been waiting exactly for this for 2 months.
2 months. 2 months, Kevin. It was like, man, those series, they were great. The Padres, Dodgers, they played all those great games in April, and then the Dodgers came down here in June, and the Padres swept them right back to L.A., and all was right with the world, and then the Padres had another good week, and then that was it.
Yeah.
It's really been downhill since then. The Padres, the last couple months have been well under 500, actually. And we keep hearing, you know, we got the guys, we're going to turn it around, we believe. And now it's like, okay, well, we've played well against the Dodgers. But as I think I said last time, and maybe the 22 times before that, you know, pretty soon you gotta show everyone what you're talking about, or else people are just going to look at you and say, no, sorry, this is what you are. And, you know, unfortunately right now, the Padres aren't a very good team. I mean, they're not the worst team in the league, but they're far from what they thought they would be, far from what we thought they would be. And yesterday they made a big move. How effective it will be, what good it will do, what bad it will do, I don't really know, but why don't you take us through what happened with the departed Larry Rothschild?
Yeah, how effective are these moves usually? And you said, you know, we kept hearing, right? And yeah, it's striking how often from almost the start of the season, you know, when they were struggling offensively, it was, you know, we're going to get better. They did. And then it stopped, and it was like, okay, well, hey, we're good. We're going to be good. And we've just been waiting and waiting. The starting pitching, these are the guys. They're going to get better. Waiting and waiting. Oh, there'll be three games in a row, right, by Snell, Darvish, Musgrove. And ultimately, that about the starting pitching cost Larry Rothschild his job. Was it Larry Rothschild's fault? I don't know that anyone would say that. You know what? These sort of things, the reporting on them develops over time. And maybe we'll find out that Larry Rothschild, I don't know. We'll find out something. It was absolutely his fault. And then there's always revisionist history. I don't think that anyone would say that it was Larry Rothschild's fault. He was the guy, if you want to, you know, Damian Easley is the sixth hitting coach in 7 years. He's been here 2 years. It wasn't going to be him. It wasn't going to be Preller. It wasn't going to be Jay Stengler. If it was going to be a guy where you were going to go, we're going to shake this thing up, it was going to be Larry Rothschild because of the disappointment of the starting rotation in particular. So there he goes. And everyone could talk about, oh, his up and down history. The man's been in baseball for 35 years, almost consecutively. There are some pitchers here who are pitching better than they have. And Larry Rothschild is a part of that. AJ Preller has doubled down on another thing, or maybe tripled down on another thing that you said, Jay, and that is that we have the talent. He believes that he put together a team in the offseason that is good enough to make the playoffs. I don't know if in his heart of hearts on July 30th that he felt this team was good enough to win the World Series, because had it been, he would have made some more moves. That's what I believe.
Right. And I mean, I would expect the guy who put the team together to say nothing else than, hey, I put a great team together. But, you know, the proof is in the record at this point. And yeah, you can make, you know, you can come up with reasons, and whether you want to call them reasons or excuses. You know, Yu Darvish was very good early. He's had some injury issues. You know, he's in his mid-30s. That's the risk you take sometimes with a pitcher like that. You know, Blake Snell had one really good year in Tampa, a couple pretty decent years in Tampa. Manny looked great in that World Series game against the Dodgers. Let's go get him. You know, I don't know maybe this is Blake Snell. Is it Larry Rothschild's fault that Blake Snell didn't pitch better? I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I've said many times here and everywhere that, you know, I put almost all of this on players. And, you know, coaches are there to sort of, you know, offer guidance and some assistance and things like that. But Blake Snell knows how to pitch, you would think. I mean, he's in the big leagues. He's been in the big leagues for several years. He won a Cy Young Award. It shouldn't be up to Larry Rothschild to tell Blake Snell, you know, you shouldn't throw the slider so that it bounces 3 feet in front of the plate. So, I realize it's more complicated than that. But I do think that this is on, you know, this is on players. Joe Musgrove's pitched well. for the most part this year. And one thing Joe Musgrove has shown is a lot of guts when in games where he hasn't quite been good, maybe at the start, especially recently, he's really found himself gone deep into games, which is something that no other pitcher has done. You know, Ryan Weathers has fallen off the cliff lately. Is that up to Larry Rothschild, or is that on the fact that they put a lot on Ryan Weathers, who's a 21-year-old in his first big league season? And, you know, maybe the hitters caught up to him and he's yet to make the adjustments and he will down the line. I mean, you can go down the list. Chris Paddock's been inconsistent. I was struck by one stat that you had today, which was that the Padres are fourth in the National League in ERA and WHIP since the start of last year, which is when Larry Rothschild took over as pitching coach. So again, whether he had anything to do, if he had nothing to do with that, then he didn't have anything to do with the struggles either. You can't go with just the bad and not give him credit for the good. So I thought that was interesting. It's certainly not like they've had a terrible staff here the last couple of years.
This Hot Lava Padres podcast segment is brought to you by Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, located in Escondido and serving the San Diego community for over 60 years.
Who has the best deals in the auto game? It's got to be Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, the auto all-stars. Right now, lease a new 2021 Ram 1500 Warlock Edition, Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo, or Jeep Renegade Latitude for only $198 a month, or 0% APR and no payments for 90 days. Head to Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Escondido, San Diego, where we make shopping easy. Find these deals during the Make This the Summer event today.
I'm just surprised that he wasn't fired earlier, because it was obviously his fault. It was fault. Well, I'm going to make a joke, but
no, okay.
It was his fault that Denelson Lamet tore his UCL in 2018. Because I hear a lot about how Larry Rothschild was responsible for injuries. This team's been struggling with injuries to its pitchers and other people for a while.
Right.
No, there's some damage that has been done with players before Larry Rothschild arrived. Larry Rothschild did not tear Mike Clevenger's UCL again. So there's some pitchers that didn't respond to Larry Rothschild. And you know what? In the end, even if it was two or three pitchers, well, maybe you got to make a move. Also, maybe you got to look at the players. Oh, but wait, the players aren't going anywhere. So none of us should be surprised when a coach gets fired.
No, and I wasn't surprised. And I mentioned you almost called it. I had mentioned to you a week ago. It was last Tuesday when you were in Denver, and so I can't even remember what the circumstances were, but it was another bad outing. It was right in the middle of the game, and we were talking about what you were going to write on the off day. And I said, do you think that – I got to think there's going to be a move made, just because it was kind of like when we were around the Chargers and it was time for Norv Turner to go. It was one of those things where it was like at some point, so you got to do something to shake things up. Now, this wasn't 6 years like it was then. Not that Norv Turner should have – well, we're not going to get into that. But anyway – the idea was something had to be done. And as you said, and I didn't specify Rothschild at the time, but it made sense that he was going to be the guy. And you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, we waited and now we're going to shake things up. Well, maybe you should have done this a little earlier. I mean, it's 36 games to go, and you got the Giants and the Dodgers for all these games, and you got injuries and everything. So anyway, this strikes me basically as a situation where we got to do something, and we can't get rid of some of the stiffs that we have, and we're not going to get rid of the manager. And as you said, we're not going to get rid of the hitting coach. So sorry, it's the pitching coach who has to go, and we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens. And nothing is going to help Ben Fritz more. And I don't know Ben Fritz at all, other than, you know, seems like a nice guy. Jeff Sanders wrote a good story about his background a year ago at spring training. Which it was funny. It was getting some readership on the site yesterday. People obviously searching for who is Ben Fritz. What will help Ben Fritz the most is if Yu Darvish and Chris Paddock come back and pitch like, you know, they're both capable of doing, and Blake Snell continue. You know, he's pitched pretty well lately, and you know, it goes from there. That's what will help turn this thing around as much as anything else.
Blake Snell, who will pitch on Wednesday, as we tape this on Tuesday, has actually pitched well lately and all season, pitched fairly well against the Dodgers. And especially if you're willing to accept that this is Blake Snell, as in 5 innings, 0-2 runs. That's called giving your team a chance to win. That is not what you want from the guy you're paying $10+ million a year. But if you accept that this is, you know, what Blake Snell is, and obviously 5 innings of, say, 1-run ball, maybe even 2-run ball, would be an improvement out of anything that you're getting lately outside of Joe Musgrove.
And Snell's been really good at home this year. I mean, his ERA, I think, I don't remember what it is now. It was, I think it was 2.4 before his last start here. So he's been, or maybe it's 2.4 now, but he's been really good at Petco with the exception of the one terrible outing.
I think
against Oakland.
This is a rough opponent for him to fix the one thing that has plagued him, even when he's good, except for a couple starts. Like last outing, really good. Gets ahead 0-2, gets ahead 1-2, and suddenly we are at 7 or 8 pitches. He's facing the Dodgers. That might be what they do better than anything.
Exactly.
So that you know, we could be looking at, again, 104 pitches in the fifth inning, and you're like, man, he pitched really well, but dang, now he's got to get out because he's thrown 104 pitches. So it's a tough outing.
It is, and the Dodgers are countering. Julio Urias is supposed to pitch tonight, who has been, with the exception of, I believe, just his last start against the Padres, has been very good whenever he's faced this team. And then all you have the next two nights is Walker Buehler and Max Scherzer to pitch. And the Padres have a couple of TBAs. Is Yu Darvish going to be one of those?
Yeah, and I thought until Sunday that it would be on Tuesday, but he threw his bullpen, and they say that it's not going to be him tonight. So that means Thursday, which means you're pushing Musgrove, who has thrown a lot of pitches and been in, you know, some strenuous situations, but also has had extra rest, like he pitched Saturday and Saturday. So now you're going to push him to Friday in Anaheim, I guess, if you bring Darvish back. Your bullpen is in really good shape, except – you have the Dodgers the next two nights. So it's like, hey, all of your back end guys are good. They've all had 2 days. Pierce Johnson has had 3. You could start Nabil Chrismat tonight, I guess. And you could cruise through this game with your guys. All right. Well, then you got to face the Dodgers the next two nights.
With Snell, who, we, as we've said, is probably good for 5. And then Darvish coming off the injured list, if he pitches Thursday, I mean, how much is he going to be? What I want to see tonight is I want to see Craig Stammen start, because I want to see a guy start back-to-back games.
That would be so awesome. He could totally do it.
He pitched 2 innings on Sunday. We've seen him come back 2 innings, have a day off, and it's almost a day and a half. You know, it's more than a day off because it'll be, you know, more than 48 hours since he last pitched. I want to see Craig Stammen start.
He does well against the Dodgers too. He's faced them more than any opponent, and he does well against them. So
that's my wish for tonight is Craig Stammen, just so we can see back-to-back starts and somebody can tell us the last time that happened. It's not quite the same as starting both ends of a doubleheader or, you know, that sort of thing, but I still think it would be pretty good. And I mean, let's face it. What other options are there at this point? I mean, Kinnear pitched on Sunday, Diaz pitched on Sunday. You know, like I said, Stammen pitched Sunday. I mean, Chrismat, I guess, is the only other one. But have Stammen start and then have Chrismat come in. So there's,
or depending on how the game's going. I mean, absolutely. Yeah. By the way, it will be the 6th bullpen game of August, and the pitching coach got fired yesterday. And this is not a team that was built. I mean, they very specifically were built to be a team that was, that had starters going 5-6+ innings, and then you had a back end bullpen. They have a bunch of one inning guys. Some of them they've turned into 2 inning guys, but they have a bunch of one inning guys, and so that's interesting. Look, I had an inkling based on things that people were saying and weren't saying that Rothschild wasn't going to be back next year. This is not a surprise that Larry Rothschild, that change was made. It was a little surprising it was made now. It was a little surprising that Jace Tingler is the one who broached it and is the one who made the decision, because, you know, Jace Tingler doesn't make decisions in a vacuum. So he obviously had the support, and AJ Preller allowed him to make this decision. But it wasn't all Jace Tingler. Jace Tingler doesn't get to say, hey, Peter Seidler, we're firing Larry Rothschild. That doesn't happen.
Who has the best deals in the auto game? It's got to be Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, the Auto All-Stars. Right now, lease a new 2021 Ram 1500 Warlock Edition, Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo, or Jeep Renegade Latitude for only $198 a month, or 0% APR and no payments for 90 days. Head to Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Escondido, San Diego, where we make shopping easy. Find these deals during the Make This the Summer event today.
So, right. All right, we and can turn the page on that.
Right, and I think where we should turn the page now is to the offense. Damian Easley might be the, you know, sixth hitting coach in seven seasons and the 83rd hitting coach in the Petco era. But right now, this offense isn't very good. Maybe in the ninth inning, with Cronenworth hitting a monstrous home run and Austin Nola with a three-run double on Sunday when the game was out of hand.
Trent Grisham, three-run homer in Denver? Right. Oh, they're great.
Right. So, yeah, they've been really good in the ninth inning, but they probably should try being better earlier than that. And a couple guys that need to be better are the two guys who are the best players on this team. And Fernando Tatis Jr. had the big comeback with two home runs on the Sunday in Arizona. And since then, I think he has three hits, maybe four hits over the past week. Manny Machado has not been good over the past week plus. Maybe it's close to 2 weeks. Not real good. I mean, he had the 120-mile-an-hour home run the other night. But if you just look at the numbers over that period of time, those guys have both pretty much gone cold at the same time. And that's something that this team really can't afford, especially when you're carrying the dead weight of Adam Frazier. If they're going to stick with that and say, hey, that was a great trade we made, even though we didn't need him. And now we're going to keep playing a guy who has an OPS under 600. Then, okay, the other guy's got to pick that up because he hasn't done a whole lot.
Unfortunately, I will counter with you that Tommy Pham has not been very good lately, has not been hitting the ball hard, has not been getting on base. Well, other than some walks, a couple games where he did well to do that. So it's okay, not
Profar's back with try something else.
Your point there is an interesting one. But we don't need to delve into that. I would say that trade deadline, July 30th, could be, like, we all know curses don't exist, right? Like, rationally. But on July 30th, the Padres didn't make a trade. Chris Paddock's oblique, because they didn't make a trade because they thought they had enough pitching and they didn't want to pay the prices, right? So then that afternoon, a few hours after the trade deadline, Chris Paddock feels his oblique and he has a strain. He's on the IL. Ryan Weathers goes out and gives up 7-8 runs in three innings, something like that.
Yeah.
Fernando Tatis Jr. Dislocates his shoulder. That is the day that will go down in infamy for this season. I thought the epitaph of the season would be they couldn't take care of business against lousy teams. But, man, July 30th, July 29th, Max Scherzer Day, and July 30th are – and now you, Jay, would add July 25th as Adam Frazier / Ryan Ludwig Day. It just did not go well. As well as the offseason went for A.J. Preller, that period of days there around the deadline – I think that we'll be second-guessing that for at least until the Padres win a World Series.
Well, and we can argue the offseason, too. I mean, depending on what happens with Darvish the rest of the time and Snell as well, and have to compare what they get from Snell to what they gave up with, you know, Patino and whoever else might develop out of that deal. But I will say, you know, the one – we'll see if this – really matters. I mean, Daniel Hudson has pitched well, pretty well since he's been here. I mean, he had the one bad outing when he hadn't pitched in quite a while. But, if that was worth Mason Thompson, I don't know. That's another thing that we'll find out. But, no, it certainly has not gone well starting on July 30th. So,
and check out the stats of the two guys that you talked about since July 30th too. I'm not saying they haven't had good games. Obviously, Fernando Tatis Jr. didn't play for 2 weeks. But generally speaking, Manny had been extremely hot and now is back to it was something I was going to do yesterday until I got sidetracked by this firing of Larry Rothschild. he's just missing pitches. I mean, it is incredible. Like how often he, anybody, everybody notice, oh, geez, he almost hit that 400 feet. Well, that's not good enough. You're a golfer, Jay. You know, almost is okay in golf. You know, you get the putt, but you foul off a pitch you should have crushed. You're probably not going to get another shot at that and that at bat. And that's what's been happening to Manny Machado. So it's like amazing how poorly the Padres have pitched. Yet, if they'd allowed one run in a lot of these games, they would have lost. If they'd allowed two runs in a lot of these games, they would have lost. Here's a problem. And again, it's like, how much of an excuse or explanation is this? They've been down big early. That's been the real problem with the starting pitching. It's not like, oh, you're going through four good innings and the offense hasn't scored and it's 0-0, and then Ryan Weathers gives up, you know, four runs. It's that the starters have been giving up 2, 3, 4 runs, 5 runs in the first inning or the second inning, and the offense is constantly playing from behind. That was why it was so important what Joe Musgrove did the other day. Allowed a run. What was it, before getting an out? Yes. Obviously it was a home run on the second pitch, but then he hit the next batter and gave up a single and then shut him down. That was huge. That is what the Padres were designed to be, which was this thing they've said all year, which is no longer true. Kudos to Joe Musgrove for saying it. It worked out that night, but it used to be true about this team. Hey, if I could just keep these guys in the game, our offense is so good, we're going to come back. Well, that used to be true. A big problem right now, not as big as the starting pitching, but to me it's the number two problem, is that the offense just cannot put anything together for score to sustain. They score in one inning. They might even score 3 runs in one inning, but that will be the only inning they score in that game.
Right. I think they had the early lead Sunday. They got one run in the first inning on the back-to-back doubles, which ended up being – not scoring a run, but still it was 2 back-to-back doubles and then a sacrifice fly. And that was it. They got the one run out of that inning. Cronenworth, you know, hit a ball hard, but it was caught. This next inning, I think they had first and third again and didn't score. Yep. And then, you know, they were still winning 1-0 after 3. And then the roof fell in starting in the fourth. Although, I mean, let's face it, a 3-1 deficit should not be the end of the world. It was funny. On social media, like, oh, I can't believe Ryan Weathers was pitching there. He just cost us the game. If you're down 3-1 out in the fourth inning, you shouldn't be feeling like the game is over or that a pitcher who gave up 3 runs in the fourth inning cost you the game. There's plenty of time to come back, and especially against a guy, you know, I mean, look, Kyle Gibson's a good pitcher, but he's not as good as the Padres made him look on Sunday afternoon.
You know, Aaron Nola probably isn't as good as the Padres made him look, and I would love to have Aaron Nola pitching for a team I was rooting for, but he's probably not that good.
Yeah. he can be that good. I mean, he did strike out 10 in a row earlier in the year.
That is a good pitcher.
He was very good the other night.
That is a good pitcher. But
you're right. You can make, you know, it's like the Padres say, well, we've seen good pitching. Yeah, you have seen good pitching, but a lot of teams see good pitching. The Dodgers see good pitching all the time. Giants see good pitching and they're 13 games ahead of you or whatever it might be. So anyway, it's still the Dodgers are still in town. I believe that I was looking the other night, just curious as to what sort of tickets were left. And I looked at Tuesday and Wednesday, and I think the only tickets available through the box office were Park at the Park tickets for $33, by the way.
Price of having a winning team, folks. Still a winning team.
Okay, still a winning team. But anyway, it should be. I would think the atmosphere would be good over the next 3 nights. A lot of people out there, and we'll see if the Padres can start to turn it around. They obviously have played well against the Dodgers early in the season, so we'll see what happens, and then we'll talk again on Friday when they go up the freeway to play the other quote unquote Los Angeles team.
Thanks, everybody.